to say good morning to each and every one of you here today, bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all of you here, especially the visitors who are here. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is a good day to be alive, a good day to come to the house, the Lord's house, to worship together. And I don't know, I was just encouraged by the singing this morning, and I don't know, I said this before, but the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to being in heaven someday, and just a wonderful thinking about that. And yeah, I was just thinking as I was sitting there, and I feel compelled to, I don't know if that's the right word, but prompted to testify and say that God is good. This week there was a day that had a fair amount of mishaps, and one could have been very, very, could have turned out a lot worse than it did. One was about broke my arm, and another one, we were pushing a post in with a metal pipe for a post with a skid loader, and I was holding the pipe, and somehow the bucket became unattached, and everything flew in different directions, but the worst I got was a bruise on my arm. And it's only by the grace of God that happened. It could have been a lot worse than that. And I was thinking as I went through the rest of that day, I pray every morning for safety, pray for safety and protection. And God don't always answer our prayers, but I think it's good in the times that he does to testify that God is still good and that God does care about each one of us. So I too would like to say thanks to Paul for yesterday. It was a very beautiful day. It was a very good day. It got a little warm till the afternoon, or else the breeze went back. We could have stood a little bit more air, but it was all a really good day. It's better than a rainy day. So it was a good day to enjoy. So this morning for the message, we'll continue our study on the Ten Commandments. For those of you that are visitors here today, we've been looking at the different commandments, and it's kind of interesting as we come to the one we're looking at today, to honor our father and our mother. That it was a year ago this week that my mom passed away, and today was actually a year ago that her funeral would have been to the date. It was on a Saturday last year. But as we continue looking at the study here in the Ten Commandments, the first four that we looked at had to do with our relationship with God, or we could say our vertical relationship between us and the Lord, between us and Jesus, our Savior, our obedience to him. The rest of them, or the last six that we'll be looking at, have to do with our relationship with other people, or we often refer that to the horizontal relationship, those that we interact with here on this earth, those that we continue to rub shoulders with from day to day. As I mentioned before, we'll be looking at honoring our father and mother. Someone said it like this: if we surrender ourselves to God and get the first four, or understand the first four in their proper context, it will help us to understand and be obedient to the rest of them as we look at them as well, thinking of keeping God first, being obedient to God, having nothing else before him, things of that nature. I did want to share too, we looked at assurance of salvation in our new believers class this morning, a very powerful lesson, a very powerful verses that we looked at of being assured and knowing for sure that we can have a good and right relationship and know that we are saved and know that we have the hope of being in heaven someday. I just thought about that as well. It don't really tie in or fit with the message, but it's just a very encouraging time there as well. For this morning, for the text, obviously we'll be looking at Exodus 20, verse 12. Very short and straight to the point, but then also, if you want to turn, we'll be looking at Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, and that's where we'll be drawing a lot of our thoughts from for the message this morning. But Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Then turn back to Ephesians 6, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. Says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Title of the message this morning is very simple: honor your father and mother. The message we have before us this morning, I think, is a very needed message, a very needful message. I don't have to tell you, I don't think, but the world in which we live in, it's probably been this way, but it seems to increasingly be more and more getting that way, that the home, the Christian home, is under attack. You know, there's been sin in society for many, many years. There's been a lot of things that have happened in life over the years, but as we look at the moral decay, the moral tearing down of godly principles and Christian values as we see it today, of not even being able to, we still do, but it's society is getting away from calling men and women, or boys and girls, or X and Y and Z, and everything else you want to figure out in between, and it's wrong, and it's a shame. And as we think about that, it is a tearing down of the Christian, not only the Christian principles, but a tearing down of what God has intended or what God has designed for the Christian or for the home to really be. I was thinking about that too, as I was thinking about the Christian home being under attack. Brother J. Mark Horst, I was back there a couple months ago for Pulpit Exchange, and it was in the afternoon we were talking, and he said, he's pretty sure we're on the threshold of some major changes in the world before too long, and I believe that as well. But along with that, you know, sometimes that can be scary thinking about that. Well, let me back up. I'll maybe share it. He was talking about, and we talked more about, the moral decay, and how God has blessed America, and it was founded on Christian principles. But as things are changing rapidly, and I won't take time to go into a lot of that, but let me finish what I was going to say then. It's, in some ways, that can be a little bit scary, but for the Christian, it can also give us hope that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to shake in our boots, so to speak, and wonder what's going to take place. But we can stand firm and stand fast, and regardless, we will continue to face what God has for us and be all God wants us to be. Christian values are being disregarded more and more in society around us. What once was considered right and good and proper is now considered wrong. You don't have to go out in the world very far anymore, thinking of the Sunday or the message we have before us here today, to see children that are very disrespectful to their parents. Just the other week, we were in a store, and the mom, I don't remember what all it was, but she had her cart full, and the child had something in her hands that apparently the mom had given her to satisfy whatever was going on with her. Was she seeing something else that she wanted more than what she had in her hand? I just witnessed this part of it. I didn't witness what happened before. But the mom said something, well, you wanted this, you can't get that. Well, immediately she was throwing that and flailing that because she wanted that. Well, the mom picked it up, and of course, I was walking on. I didn't stay to observe, but as far as I could hear, the child was wailing and screaming and whatever else might be involved. And the child was a lot older than it should have been to know better than to act like that. It wasn't a 2-year-old. I'll just say it like that. But anyway, and sad to say, too many parents do things to try to pacify their children when that happens instead of teaching them to be obedient and to honor and to be what God wants us to be. The command we are looking at this morning is very simple and easy to understand. The way we respond to this command to respect and honor our parents is most likely the way we will respond to God. Think about that for a moment. The way we respond to our parents, or maybe we could exchange that and say the way we are responding to God will most likely be how we are responding to our parents. There's a couple things we need to think about as we're thinking of this. None of us have or had perfect parents. And of course, none of us are perfect. So that sheds a little more light on what we are thinking about this morning. You know, if we had perfect parents, you might think it might be easier to honor them or to be obedient to them. But I don't know if that's the case, because the principle is the principle, and we need to honor and respect and be obedient to our parents. Someone said it like this: if we choose not to honor our parents, you will mess up so many other areas of your life through disobedience to God. Part one we'll be looking at is obedience. We'll look here at the first verse in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very straightforward, very short and to the point, very easy to understand. Another verse back in Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 20. It says it like this. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children here this morning, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, when you become into your adulthood, it changes from direct obedience. You're not living under the direct authority of your parents, but you still need to honor them. But children here this morning, you need to be obedient to your parents. You need to understand that God gave you your parents for a reason. And yes, I was young once too. I was 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, and I hated it sometimes that I had to listen to my mom, that she had that authority over me. That just didn't always sit very well with me. You know, and I might share some things here this morning that I think need to be shared, because children go through these stages and don't fully understand what is really happening in their lives. But everybody goes through those times of thinking your parents don't really know much, or your parents are old-fashioned, or if you just had some other parents, life might be a little easier. But that's not really the case, because as I get older, some of them thoughts that went through my mind as I look at the destruction that happened in some of them families, I thank God that I didn't have those parents. And I might just stop and share this here now, and I might have shared this one other time, but I remember one time I told my mom, thanks for teaching me to love the Lord. And as I walked past the casket, as I was going into the church, the last time I viewed my mom's body on this earth, I just stopped for a moment and I said, thank you, God, for giving me a mom that cared enough to teach me to love the Lord. And you know, when you get to the end of the life, there is nothing else that really matters. It don't matter that she taught me good work ethics. Yes, that does matter in life as well, to do what is good and to treat, be honorable, to be trustworthy. But the most thing that you need to remember and respect your parents for, I believe, is if they taught you to love the Lord. There's nothing else, I don't believe, at the end of life that really will matter. Thinking here a little bit more about our message and our text here this morning, thinking of children, obey your parents. The word obey isn't a difficult word to understand. It involves three different things. The first one is listening to some specific instructions. The second one is understanding the instruction. The third is carrying out the instruction. Listen, understand, and carry out what you're being asked and called to do. I remember, and I hope I don't say anything that is, I know I'm not planning to, and I hope nothing that I say sounds disrespectful to my mom as I share some of the things this morning. But I remember one time when I was going through some of my struggles in my teen years. My dad was done gone till then. And I was probably about 16, and I got a haircut that my mom was not happy with. I'll just say it that was very, that's stating it mildly. I was planning to spike my hair. Well, the first Sunday morning I came down with my hair spiked after I got that haircut, my mom laid the law down and she said, we are not going to church with your hair standing up like that. And I said, well, I'm not going to church unless my hair is like this. She said, you are going back upstairs and your hair is going down and we are getting in the car and we are going to church. And I was 16 years old at that point. And I want to tell you, I went upstairs and I rewashed my hair and we went to church. But that was a changing moment in my life of understanding that a couple things. My mom still had authority over me at that stage of life, and that she really cared about what for image, not just that I was representing, but what it represented to the whole community. Thinking about the verses here again, the first verse in there, we're to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 says to obey in all things. I want to put a disclaimer here, I guess you could call it. These verses are talking out of the context of godly parents. God would not call us to be obedient to things that are sin. In other words, if you'd have parents that aren't godly and are asking you to do things that are sin, he is not asking you to do that. But we need to remember that we are called to honor our parents. There's a phrase there in verse 1 in chapter 6 there in Ephesians, to obey our parents in the Lord. I think that's what I'm kind of looking at there, in the Lord, that we are honoring our parents because this is what God would want us to do. We are being obedient in the Lord for what we are being taught. I believe it is clear here that the obedience we are called to should not be done grudgingly or complaining or something that we do because we feel we have to do. There are times I believe that all of us do those things. You probably heard the little story about the two-year-old boy that his mom told him to sit down on the bench at church, and he leaned over and said, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." Sad to say, there's too many young people and children that go through life like that. But I think in each one of those times, you can also learn and to understand what we are really called to be, and God can change us and mold us. Another thing we need to remember, that parents don't always get it right. But in a general rule, our parents have our best interest in mind. If you see a child reaching out to touch something that is hot, you know the consequences. You're going to tell them, don't do it. Or if you see a child reaching out to a fan, maybe going to stick their fingers in the fan, they don't know the consequences. You tell them, don't do that. Last Saturday, a week ago from yesterday, we filled our one trench with Sally. We had several people there that came and helped cover the trench. And our one nephew and his wife were there, or he came and helped, and his wife was there afterwards. They have a little girl. She's maybe 14, 15 months old, and we have a trampoline there. We had pizza afterwards. We have a trampoline there, and they put her on the trampoline, and they were on either side, and she was running back and forth, and you know, this got to be a game, and they were laughing, and she was laughing and carrying on. Well, all of a sudden, the one time she went beelining, and ours is an old one that don't have no protection around it. No, it's just straight off. And she went beelining for the edge, and our nephew could not get there quite fast enough. And somebody hollered or somebody yelled, and instantly she stopped just as she was about ready to go over the edge. And I thought about that as I was studying for this message. You know, if you teach our children to respond to something, I believe is at a young age like that, I believe it goes a long way in helping them and knowing when to stop or what is good and what is right. Part two we want to look at is honor and respect. Verse 2 in our text there, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is a very simple and clear and concise commandment to honor your father and mother, period. There's no ifs, buts, or ands. It don't say honor them if they are honorable. Honor them if they provide for you. Honor them if they've never neglected you. Honor them if they've always treated you right. Honor them if they are perfect. But it does say to honor them. I can remember one time, I probably shared this with different ones, but as your parents get older, my mom had her mind till the end, but as your parents get older, they don't always process things as they used to process things. And life can get, I think I can say it like this, scary to them with the changes that are happening in their body. And as my mom couldn't do certain things, you know, it was a struggle for her. It was hard for her to do that. I'm going to share just briefly about this, but my mom, when she had to give her license up, she was not happy about that, and it did not go over very well at all. And I remember the day that we were sitting in, let me back up. She had to have an appendicitis surgery at the age of 83. Very unusual for that old. The doctor said he thinks it was the oldest person he ever operated on for an appendicitis. But after that, her doctor told her that she couldn't drive. It was only about a year or so after that, her health was still good after that, but she did not respond near as quick. She used a walker all the time after that. And it was about a year after that, she wanted to start driving again. I said, Mom, your doctor said you shouldn't be driving. You need to talk to her. She had a lady doctor before you start driving again. And we went to the doctor's that one day. I took her to our doctor's appointments. We went to the doctor's, and we talked to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, no. She's like, well, why would you even want to drive? That was her first question. Well, my mom gave her about 10 reasons why she'd want to drive, and I'm probably would be the same way. But anyway, when the doctor finally said, I don't think it's the best thing for you to do. And I mean, my mom unloaded on me and the doctor right there in the doctor's office. So the doctor said, okay, there's one thing I want to do before I give you this. She said, I want you to go to the hospital and you can do a in the therapy place, you can do a simulating test. It tests your reflexes, your response. Like if it's on a screen, I was there with her. If a danger's coming up and you're supposed to hit the brake, you know, how fast you responded. And she said, that will go back to the state, and they'll decide whether you can have your license back or not. Well, the sad thing is, I say sad, the hard thing is she still always had her license. She hadn't given them up yet, but I mean, she still had them in her possessions, but she was not supposed to be driving. Well, when the state got the results from that test, they actually sent a person out to her house to pick up her license. That's how bad and slow the reflexes were. They didn't send her a letter and say, send them in. They sent somebody out to pick them up. And of course, that was really hard for her again. And I kind of took the brunt of that again. But I guess the only reason I'm saying that, you know, in those situations, you have choices to make as children, as sons and daughters of parents, helping take care of them when they age. You can get upset at that, or you can step back. I told my family many times, I said, this isn't our mom that mom really is. This is mom that is struggling with the changes that is taking place in life. And you can choose to honor and respect even in the most hard times. And yes, there were some times I had to talk pretty straight to my mom. And my mom and I had a different relationship than a lot of moms and sons would have, because my dad died at a young age. My oldest sister's wasn't normal, so my mom relied heavily on me to help with the care and things that needed done for her. But yeah, I guess I'm just sharing my heart this morning to honor your parents, to respect them. And children, you can't learn it any younger than the age you are now. If your parents are telling you something, they have your best interest in mind. They want you to understand what life is really all about. If you learn to be obedient and respect your parents for who they are at a young age, it will go a long way in helping you honor them as you get older. What does it mean to honor? It means to hold them in high regard, to have a deep and loving respect for them. It's a word that has to do with your inward attitude of your heart and mind toward your parents. You know, if in your heart you've learned to love and respect and be all you can be for your parents, it will go a long way in helping you to honor them as you get older. How you speak to them, how you speak about them, and act towards them. I've often said it like this, and maybe I'm saying some things I shouldn't even be saying since my mom's gone, but my mom and I kind of had a... this probably isn't the best description, but I can almost say a love-hate relationship. And I don't mean that in a way. We never hated each other, but we interacted in a different way than a lot of parents would with their children because of the way life had taken us to. And when I say that, we weren't afraid to speak what needed to be said, and we took it as it needed to be. And there was times we had to work some things out, but through that all, we can still honor and respect our parents. If we truly love and respect your parents, you won't talk disrespectfully about them or derogatory about them. You know, I don't know, I haven't heard a lot lately, but when I was a teenager, I remember different ones talked about their old man and their old lady and their old this and their old that. And sad to say, I got caught up in some of that too, but that is not good. That is not God-honoring and should not be a part of Christian homes. When we come to the place that we realize that our parents are not perfect and at times can make a lot of mistakes, it helps us to realize that they are who God is wanting them to be as well. But we must honor them as our parents, because they belong to me and I belong to them. You know, God allowed us to be born into the homes we are born into. God knew in advance what would be taking place in our lives throughout life. He never makes any mistakes. Just this morning, I think Brother Barry mentioned in the New Believers class that the same God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how they turned from him so many times, and how God kept coming back and calling them back to him. That same God that did that is the same God that is leading and directing the events of our lives as well. He's never made any mistakes before, so why should we think he's making mistakes today? We need to remember that as we go through life. Part three we want to look at yet is a fruitful life. Thinking about the part there in the verse that says the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3 tells us what the promise is, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So a thought came to my mind, if somebody dies at a young age, does that mean they didn't honor their parents? So absolutely not. I would never say that or never even think that. But I believe it's speaking as a general rule, if we honor our parents, that life will be a lot easier for us. That we will have a peaceable life, I guess you could say. Not so much that we will live long because of what we are doing to our parents, but more the fact that we will live more of a peaceable life. I don't know about each one of yawns, but not just your parents, but if there's something that you're harboring against someone, it just about eats you up inside. You might not think about it as you're going through it, but as you get on the other side and you put that behind you, maybe you need to say you're sorry, maybe you need to ask for forgiveness, maybe there's other things that need to happen. As you lay that down, the peace that floods over you after that takes place. And I believe that's the same way. I remember years ago, soon after Lois and I were married, there were some things that I had to go and make right with my mom. And just the peace and the joy that flooded over my soul and my life after I had done that. If we honor and respect our parents in the way we should, it will help us to live a lot more of a happy and peaceful life. Thinking a little bit about obedience and honoring. Obedience, the level of obedience changes when we are in our adult lives, but the command to honor will never go away. Matthew Henry said it like this: as your parents are aging, give them the care they need. Honoring your parents includes endeavoring in everything to be the comfort of your parents and to make their old age easy for them, maintaining them if they stand in need of support. Think about that for a moment. In other words, looking out for your parents' best interest as they get older. Give them the love and the care they need. As your parents get older, not all the dots connect as they used to. I remember my mom, I'm not sure why, but the scammers seem to target older people. I've read articles about that, and my mom would get these scam calls and somebody from the Social Security office, and we've had this problem, we need your Social Security number, and we need this and that, and instantly mom would hang up and call me, and she's like, she got this call, well, you know, what should I do about it? Like, I just, every time I'd say, Mom, please don't ever give anybody your Social Security number over the phone, and thankfully she never did. But, you know, she would have, 10 years before that, she would have never even gave that a thought, that this might actually be legit, that somebody calling you from such and such an office. But the dots didn't always connect as they used to, but they tried to make it sound so real and believable. And yeah, so we need to be there for them in any way we can and to reassure them that everything. Yeah, there was a few times she even wanted me to call the Social Security office and make sure there wasn't a problem there. And I kept reassuring her that it was all okay. But just to continue to be there for your parents in any way that you can as they are getting older. One thing we always need to remember is we honor God when we obey his commands. And honoring our parents is one of those commands. Regardless of what age your parents are, make sure you're doing things to honor them. You know, as I shared in the beginning, none of us have had perfect parents or have perfect parents. None of us here are perfect. And that's where sometimes the trouble comes in. We sometimes feel that we're legit and maybe not honoring them in the way we should because of some of their struggles that they have had or some of the inconsistencies we see in their lives. But that is not what God is asking us to do. He's not asking us to change them. He's asking us to honor them for who they are. Another thing we need to think about, for some, it may be easy to honor our parents. We have parents that are loving and Christians and are concerned and compassionate and committed to Christ and to you. For others, it may be difficult. Maybe your parents aren't as Christ-like as they could be or should be. Maybe they aren't Christians at all. Maybe there's times we need to ask for forgiveness. There are times we may need to seek reconciliation. Another thing we need to remember, if you're here this morning and that you are a parent, make it easy for your children to be obedient to this command. Make sure you're living the kind of life that honors God, and it is easy for your children to honor you and be obedient to you. There's a lot we could probably go on more and more to say. I just want to encourage each one of us here to remember that this might seem like a long ways off to some of you, but your parents won't always be with you. You know, I remember different things that my mom would say, and we would always, yeah, you know about history, you know, it would kind of come and go. It was things, when I say come and go, it's things that you didn't think were that important. But there's many things now, I wish we would have wrote some of them down. Of so-and-so, who was so-and-so, who was this, or, you know, a few of them things, because it's like somebody else said, when somebody dies, it's like a whole book is gone. Their life is like a book, and there's a lot of valuable things that they have in life. But I guess what's making me say that, to learn to hear one another out and to listen, not just hear and listen, but to take to heart what they're saying, to remember in everything to honor and respect and to love our parents for who they are, and because that's what God has called us to. Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.